We established the fact first that you're a local boy from Honolulu.
Right.
And you went to Punahou back when it was sort of a young operation, huh?
Yes, well, Punahou was an old, it was an old school then. You know, it started back in, what was it, 1860-something?
1841.
41, mm-hmm. Was that it?
Yeah. We have a Punahou bastion here at KGU. First string is all Punahou guys. What year were you at Punahou?
I was 1912.
So you were 1912. You told me something really neat when we talked on TV, and looking out at Waikiki, which we can hardly see the ocean for the buildings, I remember you telling me that when you used to go surfing, you just, at the time it was pow school, just grab your board and walk to the beach?
Yes. I used to keep my board at my grandfather's home, which was right where the swimming pool of the Waikiki Sheraton is today.
Right.
And I kept my board there, and I'd go out after school, spend a couple of hours out in the surf.
What do you think, Mr. Anderson, when you look out our 12th-floor window here at the Waikiki Trade Center and see all of that? We can barely see the Royal Hawaiian Hotel. How does this coincide with the way you remember Waikiki, and how would you choose to remember it?
Well, Waikiki, as I remember, I rode my bicycle out. It was a dirt road, Kalakaua Avenue, and nothing but coconut palms and algaroba trees, kiawe trees. It was very green, as I remember it. This place of my grandfather's was right on the beach. The beach came right up to the fence, whereas today there's a seawall there. And it was the impression of a lazy village kind of thing, you know.
It was a quiet village, and in that quiet village, you had gone off now from Punahou to study on the East Coast, and while there, you came up with some of your song ideas?
Yes, I went to Cornell in 1912, graduated in 1916, and I did a little songwriting while in school. I was on the musical clubs there, played mandolin, did some singing with ukulele on the concerts, and I was a little bit homesick at one time and wrote a song called Aloha Land, and that was published way back. Johnny Noble used to play it, but it didn't live on. It wasn't one of the best songs.
It was certainly not one of the best songs, but it was the first in an illustrious career. We're going to jog your memory, and those are the people out there wondering just exactly about Alex Anderson and the degree to which he's been able to influence Hawaiian music. Here's one of the novelty songs that I think is one of the all-timers. For everyone on Molokai, let's listen to a bit of this, Mr. Anderson, and perhaps you can tell us the story behind the song.
He wore a molo and a coconut hat. One was for this and the other for that. The people shouted as he went by. He was the cock-eyed mayor of Kaunakakai.
What inspired this song, Mr. Anderson?
Well, a man named Paul Fagan, San Francisco, who had a home here near us on Waikiki, was a good friend, and we were visiting him one afternoon. He said, I'm going to entertain Warner Baxter over on Molokai, Kaunakakai, and we're going to have a parade of school children and broken down horses and so forth, and we're going to give him a key and call him the mayor. He said, why don't you come over and write a song about it? Well, I couldn't go over. I was busy in those days. But I did write the song. It occurred to me that it was a clever idea. So that's how the cockeyed mayor came about.
No female. So he placed a big pond in it, right under the horse's tail. It made her buck and it made her fly over the island of Molokai. You could hear the carnies and wahines cheer as they gave him a lake of Kikania. And now you've heard my story about the mayor of Kaunakakai. In all his fame and glory on the island of Molokai, He wore a mullet and a coconut hat. One was for this and the other for that. The people shouted as he went by. He was
the cockeyed mayor of Concord.
Oh, yeah. What does that do for you when you hear something like that that's out of your golden songbook?
Well, it was just a throwaway kind of thing. I never thought it would be popular, you know.
What year did you throw it away, Mr. Anderson?
What year?
Well, yeah, what year was that little throwaway which has endured over
1935.
So that's a quick 51-year remembrance of something that you considered quite casually. What was Molokai like when you first visited it? You describe Waikiki as a small green village. What are your reminiscences of Molokai in those days?
Well, all the islands were sleepy little villages, you might say. That you have the recollection of a lot of coconut trees here and there, you know, and wherever there was any habitation, they seemed to be coconuts and kiawe trees, big spreading kiawe. In other words, a feeling of greenness.
All right, we're going to see what the 1986 greenness looks like out on the roads this morning. Roger Hedges, you're listening to an historic and great man. What do you have to say this morning regarding traffic?
I'm afraid after that is awfully pedestrian, or in this case, motorized. We have still quite a bit of congestion in a number of areas. RJ, at King and Punchbowl, we had a motor vehicle accident about 15 minutes ago, and it's got traffic in that area really boggled. A stalled vehicle right under the Ala overpass about half an hour ago still has left a tremendous backlog in the Paloma settlement area. And, of course, the usual areas of congestion remain. Nimitz Highway from the viaduct still all the way into Waikamilo Road, slow going. And also the H1 Everbound from about the Alexander on-ramp all the way into the Vineyard Boulevard off-ramp, still very, very slow going. Punchbowl off-ramp of the Poly Highway, a lot of cars in that section right there. So join me this afternoon on the Mike Buck Show, and I'll be back with more traffic reports. This is Roger Hedges, KGU Traffic Watch, signing off.
We're visiting on the Ron Jacobs Show on this Wednesday, March 5th, with Hawaii's most distinguished composer and a true kamaaina. Now, a lot of people might not know, Mr. Anderson, that besides your performing and composing career, you were very important in a lot of ways to what we see as modern Hawaii today. I remember the Von Hamm Young Company and you folks for so many years selling Packards. What's your recollection of the first car you saw in Hawaii?
Well, I came to the Von Hamm Young Company bringing in Frigidaire. The first Frigidaires that came to the islands, and developed the household appliance department. I also got Zenith Radio, which later turned into Zenith TV. And that was my end of the business in 1923 to about 35. And then gradually I worked into other parts of the business and the executive end and became president and chairman of the board before I retired, so that Von Hamm Young was one of the kamaaina companies started in 1888. Von Hamm and Young were uncles of mine.
Right, we're going to check more about one of the most influential things you did, and that involved air conditioning. We'll take a break here and enjoy the air conditioning at our KGU studios. The time is 8:16.
How many major residential condominiums are planned for East Honolulu? Have you read Lee Iacocca's warning that we could face a fuel crisis again? Do take a few minutes off during your lunch hour to discover how you can make more money and time. Visit the warehouse showplace of the Royal Capital Plaza, the leasehold condominium of Business Investment Limited on the fringe of downtown Honolulu. It may be the only residential condominium of its kind on the market. By walking to and from work, you'll save money and commuting time. You'll also find more hours of contentment by beginning and ending your day free of commuter combustion. I'm Colin De Silva, President of Business Investment Limited. Our furnished model apartments are classics, located next to the Columbia Inn on Kapiolani, marked by flags. We are open from noon till 5 daily. Do buy one of our apartments and the time to make more money.
The Sea Broiler proudly presents Capono and Friends. Yes, the fabulous Henry Capono is back in Waikiki at the Sea Broiler in the Reef Hotel, Fridays and Saturdays with two shows nightly at 10 and 12 p.m. Capono and Friends every Friday and Saturday evening at 10 and 12 p.m. at the Sea Broiler in the Reef Hotel lobby. Don't miss Henry Capono and Friends.
All right, don't miss Mr. R. Alex Anderson. Right now we're visiting with him on the RJ Show, and it's indeed a privilege and a pleasure. Before we get back to the music, we're looking out at Waikiki, a different vista from what you saw as a boy growing up at the turn of the century. But you're responsible for a lot of what's going on in those buildings because you were very instrumental in bringing air conditioning to our now 50th state, right?
Right. Our company installed the first air conditioning in the McInerney store on Fort and Merchant Street. When was that? In the 1930s, I guess. And, of course, air conditioning took off after that and became, as it is today, universal. But that was the first commercial installation.
And, of course, we have you to thank for that. We're still trying to get the air conditioning under control here. It's a bit chilly. And we say mahalo for bringing air conditioning to Hawaii. What about elevators? Can you recall where the first elevator was on the island?
No, it was before I was growing up, I guess. But our company represented Otis, and we put in many of the early installations. Of course, when the high-rises came into being and elevators became really important, then Otis took over and established their own office here.
All right, and all that time, while being the executive that you were and operating one of the great Kamaaina companies, you were also composing songs. What's the story behind the song Soft Green Seas?
A young girl named Leonie Weeks, daughter of Dr. Weeks of San Francisco, quite a famous doctor there, was visiting in the islands. This would be, 1930, I guess, long about there. And I didn't meet her. She went back to the mainland. She left a lyric with Walter Dillingham, and Walter Sr., he called me and he said, I've got a very nice little poem I think you might like and maybe set some music to it. And he gave it to me, and I did like it. She had been here with a pal. They were two young women together, and the pal had died here. So this song ends, someone left behind. She went back to the mainland and had lost her friend while here. It was a little sad in that respect. The public doesn't know that.
Massive lakes, flaming trees and lazy days, fragrant lights of sun and flowers, melting lights and green-filled hours, smiles and glance and Thank you.
Oh, yeah, the soft green seas. We look out at them this morning from our KGU studios, and with us, our guest is Mr. Alex Anderson, who's written so many songs. What do you figure the total number is that you've written over the years, sir?
It's something over 100. I have 80 in a book.
That's a songbook that you put on.
And I keep writing. I've got got a folder full of manuscripts that nothing's been done with yet, and whether they have any commercial value or not is a question, but I write whenever I get the inspiration. The latest thing I've done is a song for the America's Cup project, you know, the yachtsmen are here.
Oh, really?
Training for mm-hmm. the big event next year. Where they'll try to get back the cup from Australia.
What do you call the song?
I call it We'll Take It Back.
Is it out yet, or is it
it's just in manuscript form. I've just done it. And I was talking to the man out there about teaching it to them, and kind of a fight song, you know.
Really?
Like a football song, We'll Take It Back.
So at age 91, neither your songwriting abilities nor your American patriotism have in any way slowed down, huh? I think that's great.
Well, I'm happy to still have my faculties and and my health to get around. So I'm very fortunate that way.
We're very fortunate to have you with us this morning. We're going to jump downtown and say good morning to Paul Smith at E.F. Hutton. How are you doing this morning, Paul?
Okay, Ron.
Well, isn't it great to hear Mr. Alex Anderson, one of the great Carmine executives?
Oh, it certainly is. I enjoyed that last song there, too.
All right. What do we have in the way of stock market activity to wrap it up for this morning, Paul?
Well, the stocks are definitely on the defensive today. The Dow Industrial is down about 8.5 points there at 1,678, and declines are leading there on the broad market 2-1. Volume 104 million shares. Most active Western Airlines at 12.25, up 5.8. IBM is the drag there on the Dow, 147.5, down 2.25. Bank of America at 16.375, up 7.8. Alphen over the counter at 36, down 3/4. And locally, A&B's bid 51. Aloha at 23.25, up 3/8. Amfac at 28.625, up 3/4. Castle and Cook at 14, down 1/8. First Hawaiian bid 42.25. GTE at 50.5, down 1/4. Hawaiian Electric at 29.75, down 5/8. Longs at 28.375, down 1/8. BRI 11.25, down 1/8. Treasury bond prices are down 1.125. And New York gold at $341.10 an ounce, down $4.90. Silver at $5.58 an ounce, down 5 cents. Again, the Dow is down 8.02 now, and I'll have the closing prices this afternoon there on the Mike Buck Show at 5:20.
All right, the buck starts at 2 at KGU with Mike, RJ visiting with Mr. R. Alex Anderson, and we're going to continue that visit after these words on KGU Talk Radio 76.
Pure drinking water, our most precious commodity. That's why people are switching to Hawaii Water Distillers. They'll deliver pure bottled water free to your house or office, and that's something you should take advantage of. Why? Because
you'll never miss the water till the well runs dry.
That's right, and they have electric coolers and dispensers for sale or lease, too. Pure bottled water delivered free. Hawaii Water Distillers also has an office coffee service. Phone 538-1566. Hawaii Water Distillers, where purity is assured.
Drive down. Your cost of driving will drive out with a smile. Drive into Holiday Action Gas. You're saving by the mile. Our prices will save you a lot. Mile by mile, Holiday Action Gas will make you smile.
Holiday Action Gas makes you smile mile after mile with easy, convenient, money-saving self-service. Free plastic pump-it-yourself gloves are available for you, too. As always, if you want attendant assistance, drive through the Holiday Action Gas and Go lane. Remember, the new Holiday Action Gas bumper sticker game starts May 15th.
Drive down, your cost of driving for Holiday Action Gas. Drive down, your cost of driving.
driving, holiday action, gas with a smile.
And now on KGU, live from the heart of Waikiki, more of the Ron Jacobs Show.
We're visiting with Mr. Alex Anderson this morning. We started, well, we didn't start, but KGU started, Mr. Anderson, back in May of 1922, I believe it was. Can you remember your first encounter with this radio station?
I remember Mulroney in those early days, and of course, Lauren Thurston later was very active. Sure, remember the station.
Used to be involved in either live music presentation?
I built my own little receiver to listen to to radio in those days. In fact, I was quite a nut on radio growing up in Punahou. A group of us had little spark sets that we had constructed. We'd, at night, we'd get on the air and dot dash back and forth to each other.
From neighborhood to neighborhood?
This was when I was about 14, 15.
How far would you be transmitting from Manoa to McKinney?
5 or 6 miles.
Really,
across town.
A little wireless telegraphy there.
Yeah.
Here's a picture from our archives. This is in the hallway. Does this ring a bell with you? Can you tell me who these people are? This is a picture. I can't even identify that microphone. It's quite... who are the people in that picture, Mr. Anderson? Mr. Anderson's looking at one of our...
I don't recognize them. I don't know.
None of those ring a bell with you?
No, I don't. They don't.
I thought that you might be familiar. This is one that's a great puzzle to us. We know that it was taken sometime in around probably the 30s, judging from the microphone, and thought that maybe you could recognize through the people or the microphone. Nothing, huh?
Don't happen to. No.
Okay, well, we can ask you this, and I know we'll get an answer. At 8:28 on the RJ Show, tell us about the origins, if you would, about the song Blue Lay. That's been a classic for many, many years. When did you write it, and what inspired it?
Why, Milton Beamer had written the music, and he was at our home. I had not heard it. He played very good piano, and he was playing this tune that caught my ear. And I said, "Milt, what's that?" He says, "Oh, a tune I wrote. I call it Blue Lay."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Do you have any words for it?" "No, only an idea for the title." So I said, "Well, I'll write some words if you like." And he said, "Sure." So that was the result of I wrote the lyric.
When your blue eyes float into morning, the sun began to shine that day in May. You are a blue lady. You were wearing blue lay the day that I first met you. And we wandered on the sand by a blue sea with not a cloud in the sky to distress us.
Oh, great words.
Not a care that you
are. Certainly, Mr. Anderson, when Mr. Beamer arrived with that melody, you must have contemplated for a while, or is this just the God-given gift where you hear a melody like that and those wonderful words and rhymes just come outpouring from your heart and soul?
Yes, you know, I just don't make any effort on it. The words come to me, you know. The music inspires, the feeling of the music, I think, results in thoughts coming into your head, and gradually they distill into a definite story. And the rhymes seem to pop up here and there.
Let's listen to
I will always remember the moment when I kissed you, for the smile upon your lips so heavenly sweet. When your blue eyes looked into mine, it was then the sun began to shine that day in May. You wore a blue lay.
Oh, yeah. Did you, when you wrote that song, consider all of the implications, or did you really think that all you were doing was providing Milton Beamer with some words? Did you realize, for instance, that that would become the hula classic as well as the song classic that it is?
No, had no idea. What, you know, just don't know what's going to happen to a song, whether... I've written songs that I thought were pretty good, and public's taken no notice of them.
Now, we have a Hoku winner this year, and we must point out that Mr. Anderson received the highest award in 1985, the Sidney Grayson Award for Lifetime Achievement from the Hawaii Academy of Recording Arts. And while we're talking about that KCCN project, we want to thank the Honolulu Skylark for some of the music we're playing from the archives this morning on the RJ Show. I don't know if you got to see the TV show Monday night or are familiar with the... a lot of the music in 1986. Did you happen to see Tony Conjugation on Monday night winning all those awards?
I saw the TV. I wasn't there. I watched the TV show.
What do you think when someone takes one of your songs and puts it into a more contemporary vein? We listen now to Tony Conjugation with that exact same song. And for a moment, Mr. Anderson, see back when you conceived these words, if you could imagine in 1986, this version.
The day that I first met you, as we wandered on the sand by a blue, blue sea, with not a cloud in the sky to suppress us. Not a care had you to distress us.
Does that meet with the composer's seal of approval, the new Tony Conjugation version? Is that okay with you?
I had not heard this.
How do you like it? Do you want to listen some more?
It's interpreting his feeling for it, you know. I mean, it's his own interpretation of the song. Slower tempo,
mm-hmm. Nice falsetto,
taking a little liberties with the melody notes, puts his own note here and there. And
is that okay?
Well, it's pretty generally done by entertainers, and usually the composer is glad to have his song performed.
Any which way, huh?
Any which way.
Yeah. What do you think? Let's listen to the instrumentation on this too.
What? I myself am a nut about more or less strict time, a rhythm, you mm-hmm. know. You might say dance time, rather than varying the rhythm and taking liberties with it. I also am strong on melody.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas today's composers will write on two or three notes. They do the whole song on a... no melody at all. I mean, it's just chords and repetition of a phrase, perhaps.
Let's play for you a little bit more of Tony Conjugation's.
I shall always remember the moment when I kissed you and the smile upon your lips.
I have a question about this.
When your blue eyes looked into my...
You refer to blue eyes there. Was your inspiration for this song, or in your mind, did you have a vision of a blue-eyed Holly girl?
Actually, my wife had beautiful brown eyes, but...
uh-huh. You probably heard about that over the years.
Blue eyes had to go with the blue lay.
All right, so it was merely poetic license?
That's all.
Oh, was there a particular blue lay that inspired you? We were wondering out loud the other day what kind of flower that might have been.
The title is what inspired Milton to write the music. And
oh, right, right.
At that time, yes, the, you know, Lay Day celebrations, they were giving special prizes for blue lays.
Mm-hmm.
And all at once, quite a lot of inventiveness among the lay people, bringing out different new blue flowers. And that was just kind of a fad.
We have a caller from Wylie Holland. The phones are ringing off the hook because Alex Anderson is here. Who's on the line, and did you want to comment on this man and his music?
Yes, am I on the line now?
Yes, you are.
Aloha, Mr. Anderson.
Aloha.
I'm a youngster, 77 years old, so I've grown up with your songs. I wanted to remark that I hope you have kept manuscripts of the background of your songs, because I think the stories behind the songs are quite as important as the songs themselves. As I listened to the story of One Left Behind, you know, it meant so much more to me than when I heard the song and didn't know the story back of it. I hope you have kept and have definitely manuscripts of why you wrote the different songs, please.
Yes, thank you very much. I have taped my own ideas of, and explanations of most of my popular songs, just about along the line that I have described here this morning. So I do have that on a tape.
And is that something for your own private use or something you're making available?
Just in my private possession, you know, just to the family, you might say.
Hmm.
Part of my records that I'll pass on to my kids.
Well, we hope that they might enjoy listening to a tape of this program. It's wonderful to visit with you. 8:38 is the time, and our guest is Mr. Alex Anderson, and we cannot let the morning go by without talking about some of the extraordinary events which took place in this gentleman's life, and we're going to talk to him about some real action that took place way back when, and the story of how an Academy Award winning motion picture was based on some of the early activities of Alex Anderson, after we hear from these messages on the RJ Show.
What's a million miles long, goes 120,000 miles per hour, and takes 75 years to see? That's right, Halley's Comet. The best place to see it in all of the United States is on the Big Island in March and April. And the only overnight tour is on Mid-Pacific Airlines. For $160 per person, we'll fly you to Hilo with first-class service of champagne, coffee, and pastries. Provide all the ground transportation transfers you'll need, hotel accommodations, and a one-hour lecture by the University of Hawaii's Hilo Department of Astronomy. But to catch a comet, you have to move fast. Only four tours are available, and each is limited to just 25 people. The dates are March 5th, 9th, 12th, and April 13th. Hurry, these dates are filling up fast. Call Mid-Pacific Air for reservations at 834-8234. That's 834-8234, Mid-Pacific Air.
Visit the Ewing Ranch in Texas. See one of the most exciting cities in the world, Dallas. Just tell us when you watch Dallas on K-Show TV, 6 p.m. or 10 a.m., and you may win a round trip for two to Dallas, nonstop from Honolulu. Delta Airlines gets you there. Send your entry to K-Show TV, 970 North Kalaheo Avenue, Kailua 96734. Just tell us when you watch Dallas, 6 p.m. or 10 a.m., and you may visit the Ewing Ranch and Dallas. You must be 18 or older to be eligible for the drawing.
All right. We are visiting with 91-year-old Alex Anderson. Now, back in World War I, you were involved in some activities which resulted, finally, in a motion picture sort of saluting what took place. Can you tell us that story, Mr. Anderson? I think it's one of the most fascinating I've ever heard.
Well, I was in the budding United States Air Service. We had a very few planes in those days, and they sent a lot of us American cadets over to England to be taught by the British to fly, the RFC, Royal Flying Corps. And I had an experience there of flying, learning to fly, and flying at the front, and unfortunately being shot down by five Germans who were too much to handle, and became a prisoner, and with four others escaped, finally, with the help of the Belgians who fed us as we walked across Holland, across Belgium to Holland, we managed to get free. But after the war, there was a movie person over here that heard of my war experiences and wanted to talk to me about them. And I told her of the experience of two of the chaps who had escaped with me. Had not happened to me. They had been on a previous escape where they had attempted to steal a German plane. A German plane was inside of a tent hangar, and they had spent all night trying to get the tent down around the plane so they could get away with it and fly back to our side of the lines. I told this, her name escapes me, a woman writer, and about this story, and she went back and made a picture of it in which Richard Barthelmess, the hero, was successful in getting a plane and flying it back to our side and escaping that way. She called it the Dawn Patrol, which is the title I gave my story. I wrote a story when I got back here. It ran 8 months in McClure's magazine, and it was my complete experience of being shot down and captured and escaping. And I called the first episode the Dawn Patrol because that's when I had gotten into trouble and with a skirmish with the German planes. And she latched onto that title, and the picture was about this stealing of a German plane and escaping, which was done very successfully in the movies.
To the extent that it won an Academy Award for a screenplay. We want to ask you about other dawns when the morning of December 25th arrives in Hawaii, thanks to you. One of the tunes that we inevitably hear and hear for the weeks prior is this little composition we want to tickle your memory with.
Good to see you, my friend. Same to you, Lindsay.
Nice to see you. How you want?
Oh, I was all right last night. Oh, Nina, baby. Oh, wait. Oh, kiss daddy. How's it going? Skinny babe. And who is it? Harry, cousin. Never need to bring that present. But as long as you brought a present, we drink them anyway.
Okay.
Just in time. Listen, you know, we're lucky. But you guys got here just in time because we're all going to sing. We'll sing Billy Kaliki Maka just to start out with. But you know, these guys sneaky in the Cam Glee Club. They sing parts. So what you do, you grab a part that's not open and sing. All right? Okay, let's go. Billy Kaliki Maka, everybody.
The sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Billy Kaliki Maka is Hawaii's way to say Merry Christmas to you. Billy Kaliki Maka is the thing to say on a bright Hawaii's Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway. Aloha, dear, Christmas will be green. The sun to shine by day and all the stars that night. Maka is Hawaii's way to say Merry Christmas, a very Merry Christmas, a very Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah. I'll tell you, what does it feel like for a Puno boy to hear the Kamehameha School Glee Club taking off on one of your songs like that? Pretty good job, huh?
That sounded pretty good.
that's probably the way you'd probably like to hear all your songs, really, yes, formally and officially done that.
That's right.
What inspired that?
Well, in the Von M. Young office, this was 1950, and it was just about the Christmas season, and this secretary in the office said, "Mr. Anderson, you've written so many songs, why haven't you written a Christmas song?" And it suddenly struck me, well, that's one is needed, because we were singing English words to, or Hawaiian words rather, to the old standard, Silent Night and so forth, mm-hmm. were being done with Hawaiian words, and there wasn't any original, you might say, Howley type Christmas song.
Well, you took care of that, Alex Anderson, and all of us owe you a debt.
And that struck me right on the nose that that's the thing to do. It came to me that way.
You made for many a bright Hawaiian Christmas day with that composition. Now we come to a song which just sounds better and better as the years roll by. This is a composition by Mr. Alex Anderson that just about says it all. Let's listen to a bit of it, and perhaps you can tell us the wonderful story of the hands which inspired this lovely song.
Hula hand,
holy mama,
Nina Kaili Bahamana. As we listen to Benny Kalama and Nina sing that classic by you, Mr. Anderson, how did that song come about? It's such a great story.
That's another coincidence, you might say. I was at an evening at a party, someone's home, and quite a few people, and a lovely hula dancer. I don't remember who it was now, but she was dancing, and a group of us standing on the outskirts of the circle watching, and suddenly the man next to me said, "Aren't her hands lovely?"
Mm-hmm.
Just made that it came out of him, and I thought immediately, lovely hula hands.
Every little move expresses so well understand all the tender meaning.
Say to me again, lovely
one.
We're listening to Benny Kalama and Nina Kaili Bahamana. Any particular favorites over the years in the way of singers, performers, Mr. Anderson?
No, I think that, all the best singers have done my songs.
Really?
And it's nice to hear the different voices doing them. I really appreciate it. And Nina, of course, Nina and Benny, two of the best.
Oh, yeah, I don't think anyone has ever come to Hawaii or left here or dreamed about the islands without hearing that melody in their head, Mr. Anderson. What a great one. Congratulations to you. We want to listen to your performance here before we run out of time, and it's moving so fast visiting with you. White Ginger Blossoms, a song of yours, appears on a record of you performing your own compositions, which came out about 2 years ago. Why did it take you so long to finally present Alex Anderson singing his songs?
Well, my son was responsible for talking me into making a record. He plays clarinet, and one side of the tape that you're talking about has him with the clarinet obbligato on the songs. The other side is mainly steel guitar with Bird's rendition of the steel guitar.
Just listen to Mr. Anderson. This is you on White Ginger Blossoms.
And I'm playing ukulele and singing.
All right, let's listen. It's 8:51 in Hawaii Nei.
White ginger blossoms, cool and fragrant, sweeter than the rose.
to the moonlight, white ginger blossoms from the mountains fill the thirsty air with exotic fragrance rare. Round your lovely throat you wear my ginger name. Each white petal nestles close and longs to say, let me stay here. White ginger blossoms cool and fragrant by a mountain pool guard their sweetness. For you.
What year did you write the song, Mr. Anderson?
That was 1940, same year as Lovely Hula Hands.
Pretty wicked ukulele playing. Let's listen to some more of this. You were about 89 when you recorded this, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Let me stay here. White ginger blossoms, cool and fragrant, by a mountain pool, guard their sweetness all for you.
Glad we had time to listen to that one. And that's available too, isn't it? People can buy that.
I think they still have it at House of Music.
We are unfortunately running out of time, and we could spend hours, and it's always a pleasure to visit you, Mr. R. Alex Anderson. The song that you've always considered your favorite is Howley Hula. How did that song come about, and why do you like it so much?
Well, I like it because it tells of the color and the sounds and the beauties of the islands, and because it has a Hawaiian hula feeling, the melody is... a 16-bar repetitive, like hula, and it dances very well. The hula dances like it, and it's my expression of love for the islands, I think, more than any of my other songs.
Well, with that expression of love for the islands, Mr. Anderson, we say mahalo to you for visiting with us at KGU this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure being with you.
Stealing from afar, from people, ain't alone. One lady makes you sway in the moonlight. I know the reason why fair Hawaii haunts you so. When I hear the strains of Lansley, stealing from a far off guitar, they may know when Lili makes you sway in the moonlight. I know the reason why fair Hawaii haunts you so. The lovely blue of sky and the soft light of ocean, the flashing white of clouds, the waves full interest, the many shades of green from the plains, the mountains, in all the brightest hues of the rainbow, we'll rest. I hear the swish of rain as it sweeps down the valley. I hear the song of wind as it sighs through the trees.
I hear the crash of the waves on the rocks and the beaches. I hear the hissing surf and the boom of the sea. I love to dance and sing of the charms of Hawaii, and from a joyful heart sing aloha to you. In every note I'll tell of the spell of my island, for then I know that you'll be in love with them too. I love to dance and sing of the charms of Hawaii, and from a joyful heart sing aloha to you. In every note I'll tell of the smell of my island, for then I know that you'll be in love with them too. For then I know that you'll be in love with them too.
Mr. R. Alec Anderson's choice for his favorite song performed on the RJ Show this morning by the Kahoanu Lake Trio. What a great time it was to visit with that fabulous gentleman. More in the way of music today as Michael Jackson will be visiting with Quincy Jones in a few hours right here on KGU, where we thank Doug Johnson of Fairfield, Iowa for the computer messages to pigs. I guess we'll have to have part four of that tomorrow morning on the RJ Show. Will McDonough, as usual, on top of things sports-wise, live from Boston, telling us about the story which broke Sunday in the Advertiser about NFL drug testing of graduating seniors. Thanks to and congratulations to Ted Jedester of BYU Hawaii, talking about his team's victory. And, of course, another thank you to Chapman Lamb for edifying us on a call that came in yesterday morning. Carol Dodd, the public relations lady for the judiciary, and Fred Hemmings, who is an opponent of same, at least some of their policies, visited with us. And the highlight for me this morning was visiting with Hawaii's premier composer, and we hope you enjoyed that last hour as much as I did. Thanks to the crew this morning. You keep your lukewarm spoon adjacent to your electric bowling ball bag. Gunkies, we say aloha no, aloha kako, and aloha kakaiaka. Tony Conjugation, talking music, and Lieutenant Governor John Waihei tomorrow morning on the RJ Show. Oh, I want to go home and listen to a tape of that last hour.
This is Talk Radio 76, KGU Honolulu, the voice of Hawaii.
CBS News, I'm Douglas Edwards. The battle over aid to rebels fighting Nicaragua's Sandinista government is heating up on Capitol Hill. Secretary of Defense Caspar Weinberger took aim at the House Armed Services Committee this morning, telling legislators the $100 million request by the administration was needed to prevent the establishment of another Cuba in this hemisphere. But some Democrats have fired a few salvos of their own. Representative Bill Alexander voiced the concerns of the Democratic Task Force on Central America.
The administration has spent $1 billion in foreign aid to Central America. And what have the American people received for it? Reports of terrorism, of failure, of corruption, of dissension. The Contras are not fighting for a cause. They're working for the Yankee dollar.
The task force wants to see U.S. policy concentrate on diplomatic solutions in the region. More in a minute.
The fun, all the shows ain't to see, and the facts, what's behind what you see, TV guys, the whole world of TV, that's entertainment.
Don't miss Katharine Hepburn's moving tribute to Spencer Tracy, and read why Miami Vice co-star Philip Michael Thomas just loves himself, and why he's got a lot of company.
So buy TV guys. And read TV Guide. That's entertainment.
Meet trucker Butch Brooks.
When I'm out on the road with a load of meat on, bad weather, bad cold, my load's still got to go. So I rely on Alka-Seltzer Plus. It relieves my aches and pains, the stuffiness in my head, watering on my eyes, running on my nose, and just everything. So I take Alka-Seltzer Plus before I sack out. And in the morning, I feel like gangbusters, and I'm back on the road again.
Alka-Seltzer Plus cold medicine, fast, effective relief for tough winter colds. Use as directed.
There's a tug of war going on between the White House and the Kremlin over the time and place for the next superpower summit. Gary Schuster reports.
President Reagan made it clear today that he will not travel to Moscow for a summit meeting with Soviet leader Gorbachev until a meeting between the two superpower leaders is held in Washington. The president told reporters today that he expects a summit to be held in Washington this year. But Soviet foot-dragging on agreeing to a date has led some in the administration to feel that the Soviets would prefer the summit to slip to 1987 and be held in Moscow. Mr. Reagan's view, according to White House officials, is that even if the summit would be put off until next year, it should be held in Washington. Mr. Reagan and Gorbachev agreed last year in Geneva to hold two more summits, the first one planned for Washington this year, the second in Moscow in 1987. Gary Schuster, CBS News, the White House.
The death toll has climbed to six following an avalanche in Norway that buried a ski patrol on NATO maneuvers. A NATO spokesman says 27 Norwegian soldiers were initially trapped by the slide. The search is still on for 11 reported still missing. Norwegian officials had warned NATO that mild temperatures in the last few weeks could cause avalanches that might threaten the lives of the 20,000 soldiers involved in the winter exercise. Members of the Presidential Commission investigating the Challenger disaster are reviewing evidence of a number of NASA facilities. And several panel members are at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida, checking out the launch pad and the control room where the decision to launch was made. Others are gathering data at the Johnson Space Center in Houston. The commission will regroup in Florida on Friday for a public hearing to look at film and computer information from the launch. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 12.95, standing now at 1673.97, volume 114 million shares.
State Farm is there to help you keep all your family insurance up to date.
State Farm, may I help you?
Yes, I have an appointment with my agent for a family insurance checkup. How much will that cost?
Nothing, sir.
But all my insurance isn't with State Farm.
We'll still review everything.
State Farm's Family Insurance Checkup. It covers all your auto, home, life, and health insurance. The advice is free.
And like a good neighbor.
And the decisions are yours.
If you think small cars need high viscosity motor oils, think again. Two motor oils, 5W30 and 10W30, have the only multi-grade viscosities recommended by GM, Ford, and Chrysler for all of their new 86 four-cylinder and small six-cylinder engines. So use Pennzoil, 5W30 for winter, 10W30 for summer. Check your owner's manual, and then protect your small car with Pennzoil, the standard of protection since 1889.
More trouble for the Indian guru Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh. After being bounced from his Oregon retreat, Rajneesh and some of his followers have now been arrested by Greek authorities on the island of Crete. The Bhagwan feels the action was a rude awakening.
Without any reason, the police attacked the house, threw stones, broke the windows, and they arrested me while I was asleep.
The guru and his followers have been ordered deported from Crete. Greek Orthodox leaders say the Bhagwan destroys our youth, our morality, and our religion. Douglas Edwards, CBS News.
Only one radio station in Hawaii brings you the Mike Buck Show this afternoon from 2 o'clock. Mike's guests include Cheryl Vasconcellos and Marilyn Shuey of Planned Parenthood, right here on The Voice of Hawaii.
Talk radio is a direct line of communication between you and the newsmakers and newsbreakers of today. Listen or talk to the people who are involved in current events and headline issues. Talk radio is your invitation to a learning experience. Talk radio is
Michael Jackson.
Hello there, I am Michael Jackson. This is Talk Radio. Welcome on this Wednesday, the 5th day of March, for a couple of hours of conversation that get us involved mightily with a variety of subjects. For example, Kurt Waldheim, former Secretary General of the United Nations. former Nazi or not? We'll pursue that story and the ramifications thereof. We'll take a look at computers, and we're going to have with us here in the studio, and that will be shortly, Lawrence Maggott, distinguished expert on the whole world of computers.